music, 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 music. Don't you just love his music? Welcome, welcome, welcome to CNC Chat Chat. I'm your host, Cardelia Reed.
And I'm your other host, Claudia DiMartino. And each week we come to you to discuss life issues from a biblical perspective. There are no masks, there's no pretense, there's no script. And it's just us keeping it real. That's the way we like it. That's the way you seem to like it. And we are starting a new series.
It's the
art of communicating. And we're not doing the art of communication, but communicating. Because communicating is active. Mm-hmm. It's with talking. It's with listening. And we're going to talk about the art of communicating from a biblical perspective.
You know, I love that type. So how do you like, my co-host actually came up with this. I'm just going to be honest with you. She's very creative and I love her. You know, with everything with ministry, sometimes we forget that communication is the lifeline of any relationship. Mm-hmm. If Claudia and I had not been communicating, we would not have been able to come up with this title, communication. How do you like that? But you know, when I was thinking about this title today, I thought about Abraham. If Abraham had not been in active communication with the Lord, he would have never left the place he left from to go out to a place he did not know for the faith that he was beginning to have. And every time he went to an unknown place, he had to wait to hear from the Lord in active communication, which means that he was giving some talking or asking questions, and he was receiving answers from the Lord.
Amen.
And so I know today that we're going to dig really deep down into all the areas of communication, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even when it comes to communicating with the Lord from biblical perspective and how important that is.
Yeah.
And we just talked about the father of faith. That tells you something else. With communication with the Lord, there comes faith.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah, we're going to be building as we go. And today we're just going to kind of scratch the surface a little bit, and we will be going deeper, much deeper. And in terms of communicating, and I couldn't stop thinking about this saying, we have two ears and one mouth. So we should be listening more, twice as much as we speak. And we find that people just talk a lot. It's like, listen. And I have a dear friend of mine who recently said to me, you know, there's hearing, but there's listening. And listening is an active thing, but we should be listening before we speak.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and even in with the Lord, it's like the Lord wants to talk to us, but we just don't shut our mouths. We just keep you rapping away.
Yeah, you know, I remember when I was walking more in the world and from very religious, didn't know the Lord. And one of the things I will always do, I talk first and listen later. And I do that in every relationship. And sometimes with females, we don't really care. We just talk over each other. But when it came down to men and meaningful relationships, you know, you had to really like, oh, my God, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But you don't find that out till after the fact you say. So that's why the biblical principle is to be slow to speak and fast to listen.
I'm laughing because as I was looking up scriptures for this topic, I was cracking up with Proverbs because it doesn't pull any punches.
Yeah, it's very clear.
With what you were just talking about in Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame.
Oh my God. And you know, when I think about folly, you know, I just think that from my experience, and I'm sure you can say the same thing, when I think of the word folly, I think of so many people's faces I see that fall under that category. And it's very true. Because if you cannot listen to what people have to say, then how are you learning? How are you improving? You know those people that start out at 20 and then you see them many years later and they say, oh, I had this problem when I was 20 and they still got the problem in their 80. Those are the ones that are not listening. It's the truth. And you know what? That's a good bulk of the world, right?
Yep.
That's a big bulk of the world.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned this before, but when I had my career in marketing, I'm an observer. Mm-hmm. I like to take in everything. I like to digest what the topics are, what the issues are, and then do my research and then formulate an opinion and then speak. Not in marketing. Well, most people want to be seen and heard and get their opinions out. Yeah. But it's like, can you understand what it is we're talking about before you Yes. Oh, yes. There are times we have an immediate reaction to things because of our experiences, because of what we know, because of things we've been through, or just because of our education and in terms of our work or whatever it is. We have life experiences, so we would know how to answer.
Absolutely.
So I'm not being black and white about this.
Absolutely.
But take time to take a pause. And there's one thing I like to say when somebody says something to me, it's like, I need to marinate on that. I'm hearing what they're saying. I'm listening to what they're saying, but I'm not ready to give my reaction or my response.
Let me
marinate, because what you're saying has weight. What you're saying has purpose, and I need to wrap my head around it, my heart around it. But with that said, I'm thinking about the times we live in.
Yes, absolutely.
And people are speaking, but they're not listening. They're yelling, they're arguing, they're literally creating strife.
Absolutely.
Because my opinion is right, you're wrong, that's it. There's no discussion. We all have a brain.
You know, it's so interesting you said that, because I have someone that I say to, you know, if I see that things are getting, like, you know, even with my husband, I say to my husband, if I feel that if we're, like, getting ready to debate something, not in an argument, I'll say, you know what, you win. You can have it, because if there's an award for getting something in this discussion, you can have it. You can have it. I don't want it, because it's not about right or wrong. It's not about good or bad. It's not about you win. It's about us being on the same team. And sometimes people forget that we're on the same team.
Like, exactly.
We're on the same team. We're here for the same purpose. So let's just say, for example, you're at work, because I know this is a common situation right here. You're at work and a coworker brings their brokenness to work.
Yep.
Their brokenness is they feel rejected by the world. They feel rejected at home, things are not working out their way, they don't have enough money, they feel used, abused, and neglected. So they come to work and they take it out on the least expecting person. And people often confuse meekness for weakness. And so they take it out on you because they think that you're weak. That's a folly, right?
Yep, big
time. So that's folly. And then what will be the next best thing in a discussion like that where someone says, I'm right, you're wrong, and you know that you know that you know that you're right? The next best thing would be, let's discuss what the outcome is.
Yeah.
You and I are working together, and you're the team. And right now, I cannot really, you know, I'm not sure if there's going to be a promotion? Because I mean, we're looking for money, a title here, a power. Which one is it? Sometimes you just have to bring everything out in the open and put it on the plate and see who's going to pick from it.
Yep.
Because I can guarantee you, when you assert your authority as a person, as a Christian, as a believer, as someone who knows that they know, not as you saying, okay, I'm the king. I'm talking about surrendering to someone else, Jesus, all right? When you assert your authority to that thing that's in your coworker who doesn't even know what's going on, I promise you that thing will flee. Because some people who are dealing with brokenness cannot necessarily deal with the truth at the same time. Who's dealing with truth and brokenness at the same time?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, right?
Yeah. And as you're talking, there's another scripture. Guess where? In Proverbs.
Oh, that's good. Absolutely.
Proverbs 20, verse 3. Mm-hmm. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling.
My God. You know, I used to have when I was in elementary school. It's true. When I was in elementary school, that's so good. It was a little phrase on the wall that said, never argue with the fool. Bystanders won't be able to tell which is which. In every situation, that is so true. I one time I saw two people arguing really loud in Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Who started it? They both looked ridiculous. And you wanted to get as far away as you possibly could. That is so true. I love it.
I'm just like, I'm sitting here going, thank you, Lord, that you've changed me.
Wow. Right?
Because I was one of those that's like, mine was right. My opinion is more important than your opinion. Blah, 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 blah. But now I'm very grateful because
my God.
I can marinate. Now, one of the things I'm very grateful for is that I had the blessing of being able to study Torah for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the beauties of Torah is asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
We learn by asking questions, figuring out the answers, and learning from others. So if we're constantly quarreling and fighting and ready to, there's no learning.
Right.
There's no peace. There's only strife. And wow. One who consistently quarrels and doesn't want to hear and listen in communicating as an active experience, they're denying themselves of greater wisdom. They're denying themselves the ability to maybe substantiate their own point of view. Yeah. But by asking questions, by getting answers, by asking questions again and letting people ask questions, yeah. There's a give and take in
right.
Communicating.
People don't want to do it.
It's not yeah. One-sided.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just this, and there's such a richness. Mm. And we're all different. We are all, God made us all different because we bring such richness and flavor.
Absolutely.
I mean, the point is we need to learn in life. We can't just stay stuck in where we think we're right.
Yeah.
We need to grow. And that's why I said, I'm looking at the world today with all of the infighting, with all of the, across all spectrums.
Yes.
I mean, and then on social media, people are cursing people out. They're yelling at them. Yeah. They're shutting them down. They're ostracizing them. Why? Why not listen? Why not have a peaceful dialogue? And, okay, when I was preparing for this, the Lord showed me something.
Mm.
When we have experiences in childhood, it forms a behavior for us as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
And the one behavior that he showed me is, and I've talked about this in the past, I grew up thinking I was stupid.
Mm.
And because of that, thankfully the Lord has healed me of that, but because of that, I am a fact-based individual.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want opinion. I don't want hyperbole.
Yeah.
I don't want emotion. Give me the facts. Substantiate what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm willing to listen. But don't come at me with all of this vitriol without giving me a substantiation of what you believe.
You know, I'm going to say something huge. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So when people speak things contrary to what someone else is saying, you can tell what their true motive is by what's coming out of their mouth, how it comes out and the way it comes out. And this is why the in Proverbs also says a soft answer gives peace, but an answer that's really, up in the world, you pick that one out, it's called strife. It's true, because that person can feel that heat and energy coming off of you. So a lot of, that's why a lot of times I, honestly, since I've been walking with the Lord, and the more and more mature I get in the spirit, I pick and choose what I respond to.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you something that's so funny. Recently, oh my gosh, I was doing some contract work for this company, and I knew that one of the ladies that was working with me, because I'm used to working an executive kind of work, so I'm not very chatty. I don't communicate. I'm not a lone communicator. I'm short and to the point, right?
Exactly.
And so they did not want short and to the point. They want long, chatty, communicating documentation, and that was like, I don't do that, and so I just wasn't doing it, and I could tell the lady was getting really irritated with me, right? And so the Lord said, calm down, don't say anything. And I never did. But, you know, I kind of like went gracefully talked to her and blah, blah, and she was respectful. But there were certain things where I felt like she was pushing me.
Mm-hmm.
So after I left that day, and this, I left the agency for other reasons, but I remember thinking, I should have beaten her head off. You know how you think later, because there's something else bothering you. That's what
exactly.
It really comes from.
Exactly.
So literally, this was bothering me for like 3 months. That's so silly. It was like sometimes I'll get up.
Talk about not letting go.
And then out of the crystal blue, I was thinking, I wonder what they did after I left. I was thinking they needed my help because I had to leave for whatever reason. Don't you know the phone rung and it was the agency and said, we really need you to do X, Y, and Z. And I was like, really? Because I hugged them. I was very nice to them. And then the Lord said to me, aren't you glad you didn't bite her head off? Do you understand what happens when you respond badly? How you literally burn your bridges. You make yourself look bad. I'm a woman of God. I'm not representing the Lord if I bite your head off. I'm representing me. And then I'm actually representing the devil. Right?
Yeah.
Think about it. Who do you want to stand up for?
Yeah.
You want to make the Lord look good everywhere you go. And so I remember the Lord just saying,
you know what? You're representing me. You're the only example they will ever have of Jesus. Yeah. So when you walk out of here, you love them.
Yeah.
I don't care what they do. And you know another thing? Did you know that Jesus' blood actually yelled out for the blessing for the ones that crucified him?
Wow.
That just makes me. You think about that next time you communicate badly or tempted to. Sorry. I just had to put that.
That's okay.
Again.
It's funny because the scripture that you're referring to is Proverbs 15:1.
Oh,
a soft answer turns away wrath.
See?
But it's a harsh word stirs up anger.
It's so true.
Yeah, and it's funny.
Wow.
As you're talking, I mean, do you know when you remember something that you haven't thought of for years? I was asked by a minister to be an intercessor for the ministry and for him personally. Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, you know when you step into something that you're not supposed to do, it really doesn't work out too well. I am an intercessor, but I find myself I'm more of a crisis intercessor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I pray.
That's right.
But all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will hit me and say, you need to pray for this now.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, so I'll pray. So anyway, he asked me to intercede for him, and I would write out the prayers and how they were being answered and stuff like that. And my management background, I did a chart where I did the category of prayer, I did what the prayer was, who it was for, and what the Lord was showing me. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice chart, it was easy to read, and that's why I'm like you, nuts and bolts, get to the point. That's why I think that's why we get along so
exactly.
well, because I'm just get to the point.
Right.
So anyway, it took me a long time to do this and blah, blah, blah. Mm. So anyway, I sent it to him. Well, he calls me up and said, this is not the format I want. He was very hostile to me.
Exactly.
And I said to him, well, you didn't tell me what format you wanted. You just asked me to pray, and this is what I'm doing. He said, well, this is unacceptable.
Oh.
I said, well, how can I know? I'm not a mind reader.
Right,
it's
exactly.
like, if you're not telling me. And he wanted this, like, long, ongoing diatribe of words and stuff, and that is not me.
No.
So, okay, I have spent my life, you know, doing what other people wanted, mm-hmm. you know, I can follow rules and stuff, mm-hmm. but communicate with me.
Absolutely.
Let me know.
That's key.
But then the Lord is just going, excuse me, I didn't tell you to do this because I was praying about
right.
it. Obviously,
that's
I was praying about it. And he said, I did not tell you to do this.
Mm.
And it's like, oh. So
that's exactly
I didn't argue with him.
Yeah.
I prayed. As I said, I prayed about
that's
it.
Good.
And I just said, you know what? I stepped outside what the Lord wanted me to do here. I thank you very much for asking me to pray for you. I continue to ask the Lord to bless you and your ministry, but I need to step out.
Okay? I know he felt folly. He must have felt ridiculous.
But it's but there's a lesson there.
Yeah.
We have to seek God on everything because
absolutely.
Honestly, it was like, oh, cool. I get to do something for a minister that I know
that's
that I'm
so
called
good.
To do, but
that's
I wasn't called to do it there.
Mm-mm.
So the key point
that's
here
good.
Is that I chose not to argue. I made my point that you need to communicate with me. You need to let me know what it is you want. And you can't just assume somebody's going to know what you want. That's where communicating is active. You know, it's a give and take. So, one thing I've learned out of that experience is that make myself plain. You know, if people are open, you know, that's what a dialogue is. That's what communicating is.
That's so good. Yeah, it's very important. Sometimes you don't like it, but you have to communicate. Absolutely. But you know, we're talking about discernment and we don't even realize it.
I know.
The underlying here is discernment. You have to be able to know based on what you just read from the biblical perspective. You have to know when to communicate, like what Claudia
exactly,
saying.
Exactly.
You know, when to say the right things, when not to say it, and when just to keep your mouth shut. You know?
That's a challenge.
Do you think it's more challenging for women to not communicate? I mean, honestly, just to be quiet than for men? I mean, that sounds bad, but I'm just wondering.
I don't know. I mean, I think women get a bum rap on that one.
Okay.
But
right, right.
But I've seen men, you know.
Exactly.
Just keep
too much.
Too much.
Absolutely.
But it depends on personalities.
Yeah.
And
my God.
Part of me feels like, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying this.
Okay.
When people force their opinion, and I can speak for myself,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
many times that comes out of a spirit of rejection.
Oh, absolutely. And that's discernment again. That's exactly right. That's so true.
Yeah. You have to prove I'm right because you don't want to be rejected. So there's that, that fighting. I'm gonna ram this down your throat and you're going to take it because I'm right. And the spirit of rejection is very powerful. And that's why it's so important. We need to understand where this stuff comes from. Because we're behaving contrary to what is biblical, we have to look at ourselves.
My God, that's powerful. Mm.
Because it can't be everybody else.
No.
The one common denominator is us.
The key is how do we get... Well, I guess we don't. We have to... That's intercession, I know. But people that we truly love... And we know they're digging a ditch for themselves. They're digging a grave because you cannot tell them anything. How do we even approach them?
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a CNC chat chat moment. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, it is. And with that, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yes, it does. Amen.
Are we going to step outside... moving with the Holy Spirit, or just being civil because we got to be right?
Right.
Or are we going to be loving? Because, are we going to recognize that they could be dealing with something?
Right.
I need to come in the opposite spirit to what they're doing.
Dying to self.
Oh, dying to self.
But you know what? That takes a lot of humility.
Yes, it does.
When I'm talking to somebody and I know they're biting my head off and I'm like, I don't want to do that because I don't want to be like this person. Are you going to just, you're not necessarily letting them bite your head off. You're interceding for them under your breath. You're praying for them, but you're showing them love. Yeah.
And also, I'm thinking about the account in scripture where there was the woman who was in adultery.
Yeah. Oh,
and
that's so good.
The people wanted to stone her. It takes two, by the way. And they wanted to stone her. And they were coming at Jesus and he was just writing in the sand. He didn't say anything and they wanted to kill her. And after a while, nobody knows what he was writing in the sand.
Right.
And then he just looks at them and says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I grew up in a household where we were extremely critical to each other.
Yep.
And when it comes to dying to self, the first thing you have to do is make sure that's broken off of you. Because if you feel like someone's beating you upside the head because of something that you did wrong, the first thing you're going to do is get defensive and beat them back up.
Amen.
Where you did, we would do that. Like, you can't talk. Look what you did. You can't talk. Look what you did. And that would, we'll be doing this all day. You know, I know. We got to get ready to close. You got to stay tuned because we got a whole lot more to talk
about. And to that point, though, I grew up in an Italian Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. So we were loud. Very loud. And we had to speak loudly in order to be heard. But nobody listened. They just had to yell. And that's the way I grew up. So it had that root in me.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like, but I was such an introvert. I never talked. I've talked about it. I'm not going to go into it again. But it was like, I was reclusive. You never know it now. But
I'm
I was
sure,
reclusive
in that environment.
Because I and to this day I don't like being in lots of crowds and big because people are yelling at each other.
Right.
And I said to a friend, I don't like fighting. We should be adults, and if things get heated, let's step back and take a moment and then come back and discuss it like adults.
And because people get heated because they don't feel heard.
Yeah, because we disagree.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
Absolutely.
It's fine to disagree. And we'll get more into this,
good.
And how
that's
to approach
so
it.
Good.
Because in the next episode, we're going to go deeper.
Did you have a hard time hearing as you got older since you got... Maybe you were so loud that people just couldn't hear and that's why they didn't listen.
Always say I have 20/20 hearing.
That's so good.
But the thing is, it's a heart issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a heart issue.
Absolutely.
Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
That's a
so
scripture
good.
Verse. I've got it in here somewhere.
Yeah, I know you wrote that one down. That's a big
it's
one.
It's in here.
In this topic.
But with that said, before we end this particular episode and move on to part two, take a hard look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go deep into yourself. And ask the Lord to help you to hear and to listen. And it's funny because I don't have the scripture verse, but I know it well.
Yeah.
Faith cometh by hearing,
yes.
And hearing by the word of God.
That's a good one. Yep.
Now, if Jesus could take time to step back and listen, know what's going on and listen, shouldn't we be able to do the same thing?
Big time.
So, you know, both Cordelia and I have written books about our lives with God and how he grew us and transformed us. And mine is My Wall is Red, a memoir of discovery on Amazon.com. And it's really the wall. I had to tear down a lot of walls in my life. And the red wall personifies victory and discovering who you were born to be. But it was a lot of transformation. I don't hold back. It's a lot of transformation of letting the old die, coming into the new and seeing the victory in Jesus Christ. And with that, if you want to be healed, if you want to know the reality of Jesus, ask him into your heart. Confess before him that, say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Help me come into the fullness of who you are. I want to be more like you. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. You know, our topics really tie into our books all
the
time.
Yeah, the old time, yeah.
This is about communication with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Little Diary of Relationship Truths is on Amazon. And, you know, we're praying for you. We're praying for our viewers and our listeners. And we want this to sink into your spirit in Jesus' name. And we want you to stay tuned for our next one. There will be a part two. So thank you for tuning in with us today. Mm-hmm. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as we have.
Yes.
See you next time. We love you and God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.